Crowd management is a profession apart. In this Event Planner TV episode, I talk with Paul Foster on how to better plan crowd flows. Hi, Paul. Welcome virtually in our studio.
Thank you very much. Great to join you.
We're going to talk today about crowd control, crowd management, and how to do so, how to plan for it. If you're talking about that subject, where do we start?
Yeah, it's an important subject, and it's there's been a lot of recent examples of where crowd planning has not gone well, and it can be very public if things don't go well. In the age of Twitter, Facebook, if someone's having a bad experience at an event, well, they can tell the whole world about it pretty quickly. So it's becoming more and more important. But in terms of crowd management, we always try and look at it in terms of four corners of the triangle, which is security, safety, and experience. Obviously, the security element is very important these days with all the risks and issues and the way the world is working at the moment. Mm-hmm. And safety, are people safe in those spaces? Is there enough space for them? Do they feel comfortable in those, wherever they're moving to and from a venue and within a venue? And then finally, experience. People pay a significant amount of money to go to many events, many festivals, mm-hmm. many sports events, and their expectations now are higher than ever before. We're all competing with different types of events and new events coming online. So it's very important that people have a good experience.
But that's an interesting point, Paul, because a lot of festival organizers and concert planners and other event planners mainly look at it from a point of perspective, meaning the security and the safety of people. But you add experience to that, and I think that's a very interesting twist to the whole story.
Yeah, and I think it should give equal weighting, because at the end of the day, if people don't have a good experience, they vote with their feet and they will go and have another experience and go enjoy another sport. And we know now that people's kind of concentration span mm-hmm. and interest is shorter than ever before, and they've got so much more choice. You can watch multiple different sports live. You can watch in multiple different formats. There's more festivals available for you to go and see across Europe than probably ever before. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of choice. So we're in a very competitive world. So experience is very important.
Okay, you have the three angles to look at, but then you eventually need to start planning and see how all that fits together. How do you do that?
Yeah, there's quite a few different models out there. Which are available. The UK is probably seen as fairly advanced in crowd management planning. The reason behind that is because we used to be pretty bad and we had some major incidents back in the 80s and early 90s. But most of the models that you'll see that coming out of Australia, the USA, Europe and UK are very similar, and they'll focus on three particular elements, and that is time, space and information. So how does time affect your event? What time does it start? How long is it? And then space. And that very much looks at two different elements, and that's your capacity, so how much space do you have? Then your demand, and how many people are you going to put into that space? Mm-hmm. And then finally, information. So you're looking at things like signage, maps, social media, news reports, and what communications you have with people throughout their journey to and from a venue and also within the venue as well. So time, space, and information.
And then you start planning that to see where the bottlenecks are, or how you proceed?
Yeah, so we always encourage people to kind of follow the visitor or spectator journey. So see things from your customer, and not just the point that they come into your venue or come into your festival site and have a great experience. Actually, what's their whole kind of journey from the moment they're kind of buying a ticket mm-hmm. to the moment they're coming through a transport hub or parking their car? What's their whole experience all the way through to scanning their ticket, maybe getting security checked into the venue and in return? Because if any point of that service falls down and is a bad experience, they will have a bad experience at that event. They don't generally kind of are able to distinguish who's delivering what where. They'll have had a bad experience at that event. And in many cases, if you're an event owner or event planner, not all of that journey may be your responsibility. You might be relying on other partners to deliver that for you, particularly if people are arriving on public transport, for example. Mm-hmm. You have large car parks where people are managing that for you, and you need to make sure that they all work seamlessly together.
Bringing that all into a clear picture, you already mentioned there are models for that you can use, but then it comes through to using proper software, I assume.
Yeah, so I mean, a good crowd management plan is, you know, you can have a very, very detailed ones, and, you know, I've been involved in writing very detailed ones for Olympic Games. But one of the important things about these crowd management plan is actually people on the ground have to deliver that for you. So you can have the best plan in the world, but actually it comes down to how do you then translate that into the stewards, the volunteers and the workforce on the ground delivering that for you? And have you got the right messages to the public as well in terms of how you want to influence their movement and behavior? And you're right, there are numerous kind of technologies which can support that.
Now, you raised two very important questions. How do you make sure people on the ground do exactly what you want to do? And how do you message the crowd itself? Yeah, Paul, yeah. How do you do that?
Yeah. So with the team on the ground, I think it's always important to establish who's going to be your workforce. So are you utilizing volunteers? In some countries, volunteers are well utilized, but in others, it's not such a cultural norm. There's many differences. You may be going out to a stewarding contractor to engage with to provide that, or you may be doing it in-house. You need to establish what's your delivery model very, very early on. And then a lot of it comes down to the training. So the training you're given, is it easy to understand for the stewards? And what we find a lot of places is, particularly where it's kind of contracted out, that the workforce may not feel an ownership of the event and may not feel so engaged by the event. So it's very important how you look after that staff, get them really engaged and get them to kind of buy into what you're trying to do. And there's nothing better than doing kind of real-time exercises. So actually get people who are stewards to kind of experience the crowds, get familiar with their surroundings, and get them really, really engaged with your customers. And there's different types of people in different kind of locations. Obviously, if it's a security screening, you have a very strong kind of security presence. But much of people movement is about feeling, is about experience, is about atmosphere. And you can create that by engaging with that spectator. It doesn't necessarily have to be a firm, hard kind of security presence. Mm-hmm. It can be more engaging. And I think probably London 2012 is a good example where the games makers were, you know, very well thought of. And most of those were volunteers. They were people who were very engaging. They knew their city very well. They knew the sports very well. And they really wanted to engage with people. And what we always try and say, there's two sides to kind of crowd flows. There's crowd management and crowd control. Crowd control is much more about forcing people to do certain things. And that's generally because crowd management hasn't worked. And crowd management is about the interactions with people and the engagement with people and more about kind of encouragement. So if you can increase your crowd management, it's probably less need for the crowd control side.
Do I need to think then about, for example, if you know there will be queuing at a certain point, okay, put a nice music band or something next to them so they feel more entertained while waiting? Is it stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. So as I mentioned, kind of how people feel in a crowd is particularly important. And queuing is a classic one. If you're needing people to queue in a location, don't fill a whole kind of area wall to wall with people where they'll feel very enclosed, feel like there's nowhere to escape. Maybe bring a barrier line closer in so there's spaces either side of the queue and entertainment. We generally say if you provide entertainment in the queue, people will be happy to wait maybe 15 minutes longer because they will feel less anxious, they will feel in a good mood, they will feel kind of engaged. And probably the next element I would say is if you are creating a queue system, try and do it in a way that people can see what's happening. They can see which point they're going to enter the, you know, the train station, or which point they're going to enter the venue. Let them see what's happening. If people can see what's happening, again, they're less likely to get anxious about waiting in a long queue, because they can kind of in their mind think about, well, actually in 5 minutes time, I'll be here. In a few minutes time, I'll be there. I can kind of appreciate what's going on. So don't underestimate the kind of feeling and the demur of the crowd plays an important part.
Yeah. You showed me before that you are working on a very interesting software solution to do all this kind of stuff, to predict and make great plans of events. Can you already share something about that?
Yes, yeah, so I've worked on many large events and Olympic Games, which have very big budgets to be able to do lots of complex planning and modelling. But we're very keen with one plan to look at maybe some solutions that could be used for people who plan much smaller events and medium size events. So what it does is a lot of automated tools that will help you predict how long queues will be, how long it will take to evacuate people from a particular venue. And it's all based on a mapping system. So you can do your whole event site plan in one system. You can share it with your stakeholders and partners kind of online, so people aren't working off multiple plans. It basically brings together the whole event planning process and supports that with a number of modeling tools to be able for individuals, for event agencies and owners to plan their events more safely. So we're really excited about launching it shortly.
Okay, Paul, we are looking forward to that. Thank you for your time and being here in the studio.
Thanks very much. Yeah, great to join you.